Greetings, friends and new listeners. Welcome to the Archie Hardy Ministries program. I'm Sharon Knotts, and I'm so glad you tuned in today because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Today's message by my father, Brother Hardy, is truly vital for every Christian and is entitled Dominion Prayer. This is the kind of prayer that quenches all the fiery darts of the enemy, that pulls down strongholds and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You need to know how to pray with dominion prayer.
Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? He said, taste and see that the Lord is good, for he tastes like honey in the rock. Hallelujah. We've been in our series on dominion power, the first one, and then we had dominion armor, and now we're going to have dominion prayer. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in, the word wrestle here really means in close combat. We're in close combat with the devil and his angelic spirits and powers that are seeking to control the world and world events and hold mankind in bondage. And since God has delivered us from these powers, God has recruited us into his army and put his armor at our disposal. No one that's ever called into the army doesn't go in there without the army providing the weaponry. And God has provided the weaponry for our battle, our close combat with the devil, to bring him down and to liberate mankind. And we found out delivering power, what it would do, what it done for us, what it did for Jesus. We found out the weapons of dominion power, the whole armor of God. And now I believe the greatest part of the armor is dominion prayer. Praying in dominion prayer to defeat the enemy. The Bible said, for we do not walk in the flesh, and we do not war after the flesh. In other words, we don't war like the natural man does, the human does. Scud missiles and fast supersonic planes and all these other types of weapons. But we have spiritual weapons. If we walk not after the flesh, we don't war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what are they, Paul? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. To get a biblical picture of that is like when Samson went into the temple of the Philistines and they put his hands on the two poles and the mighty dominion power of God came on him until he crushed those pillars, the foundation in a building came down and killed them all. He did more in his death to destroy the enemy than he did in his life. Two people did more in their death to destroy the enemy in their life. And the second one was the Lord Jesus Christ. In his death, he destroyed all of the power of the devil. So our weapons, so we fight a supernatural foe, but we have supernatural weapons to come against him. And like we said, it was dominion power. Like we said, it was dominion armor. And now we have dominion prayer. And I believe this is the greatest weapon. You know, out of the whole armor of God, the first five were defensive weapons. But God gave two offensive, because seven means complete, perfect. And God has given us his perfect, complete armor. And it's just not by chance that the two offensive weapons have to do with speaking. The sixth weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? No, it's not the word of God. It's the spoken word of God. The Greek word is rhema, and it means spoken word of God. It is the utterance of God. When we come against the devil, we utter the word of God against the devil, and the devil has to come out. Just like Jesus said, Satan, it is written, he used What did he use? The utterance of his father. It is written. It is written. It is written again. And then the seventh in his prayer. And what is prayer? An utterance. We call to God. Huh? We beseech him. We make supplication to him. And God hears and answers. You see, before there's a war on the earth, the battle is first fought in heaven. And the book of Daniel reveals this to us, that the wars are fought in heaven, and then the result of the wars in heaven will happen on the earth. For every nation, there's an angelic being that heads it up, either good or evil. Israel has Michael, the good angel. The devil has many angels for the various nations. And through these angelic beings, they rule the world. They control the minds of men, and they rule the world, and they carry on the devil's program. So when God wants to overthrow a nation that is controlled by the demonic power, he first must defeat his angelic angel in heaven. And in Daniel, the 10th chapter, Daniel sought the Lord in prayer and fasting. And for 21 days, he prayed, and no answer came. Then finally, God sent Gabriel. And here's what Daniel said, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand straight, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken the word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard. And I have come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. God heard his prayer the first time he prayed. And God dispensed Gabriel to bring the answer. But on the way down, the evil prince of Persia, that angelic being that ruled Persia, and Persia was the ruling nation at that time on the earth, withstood him. They were in what we would call a Mexican standoff. He couldn't overcome the prince of the Persia, the evil spirit, because he was of equal power. So God sent Michael. Michael is the supernatural angel that stands for Israel and the chief leader of God's army. And when he sent Michael, that freed Gabriel to come to Daniel. Let's read on and get it. He said, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set my heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained with the kings of Persia. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I have come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am going forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. What happened? After Gabriel delivered the message to Daniel, he went back. And him and Michael defeated the prince of Persia. And then the evil prince of Grecia took over. And what happened on the earth? If you know the history. Here come Alexander the Great, the Greek. Out of Macedonia, like a whirlwind. He was that he-goat with that notable horn, like a whirlwind. And he killed that ram, didn't he do it? And that represented Persia. Alexander the Great conquered Persia, and he became the ruling force on the earth at that time, ruled by the evil angelic angel, the prince of Grecia. But it was in God's plan. God wanted to remove Persia to bring the Grecian empire into the world, because God was about to send the gospel through Jesus. You see, Jesus couldn't have came 100 years before he did or 100 years after he did, because in order for Jesus to come, there had to be a universal language to communicate the gospel. Alexander the Great did that because he conquered that known world. And he Hellenized them. He made them Greeks. And he gave them the Greek language. And that was not just by choice that God gave them the Greek language, because the Greek language is the most perfect language. And God wanted to have a perfect vehicle. Instead of using Hebrew for the New Testament, he chose Greek because it's perfect. And then God overthrew Alexander the Great. He didn't live very long. He died about when he was only 22 years old. And the Romans took over, because in order to have the gospel, you got to have a message, a language to communicate it. Then you got to be able to get it out. And the Romans conquered and built the roads. And I want to tell you what, if you go out there and measure the street out there, they're the same measurement that the Romans used to build their roads. And there was a saying in the Roman Empire, all roads lead to Rome. But all, what it really was, all roads led to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So the result of Alexander coming was the language, the vehicle that God would use to bring the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It was there. And then the Romans came and built the roads and also gave what they call the Roman peace. You could travel without being afraid of being attacked. You could ride the oceans because the rule of Rome, the arm heel of Rome ruled, and you had safety. And that prepared the time for Jesus to come. Like I said, the first five weapons of our armor was defense, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. And then God gives us the two offensive weapons, the spoken word of God, the sword of the Spirit. It really is the utterance of God. That's what makes the devil go. When Jesus was in combat with him, he said, it is written. And then he said, it's written again. And then he said, it's written again. And that's what we got to do when we come into contact and combat with the devil. We got to be able to say, it's written. And then if he don't go, say, it's written again. And if he comes back at us with a twisted scripture, we'll have to say, it is written again. And somebody says, how long should I do that? You keep saying, it's written till he goes. That's resisting the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee you. But I believe the greatest of the offensive weapons is the minion power of prayer. Prayer is given more prominence in the sixth chapter of Ephesians with the armor than any other weapon. Prayer. It's given more prominence. Listen to what he said in Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, in that little verse, he has packed in mighty, mighty steps of power. This 18th verse is related to the other two, and it shows and stresses the need of continual praying in the Spirit and for keeping alert with perseverance and petition. Second, prayer in itself is not identified with any other weapon there. All the military metaphors are done away with in the sixth. But prayer stands out by itself. Because when we are in the battle with all the armor on, it's no good unless we got God's power and his presence with us by his Spirit. And prayer is the ability to call on God and to strengthen us. Remember in the lesson on dominion power, how in the third chapter Paul prayed, I am praying that you might be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. How many say amen? With the whole armor, I got the whole armor on, but I got to be strengthened with this mighty power in the inner man that I can use the armor against the devil. So that when I call on God, that it may strengthen me, and that I can stand and appropriate the whole rest of the armor. I got to take my stand so that when the enemy begins to shoot his darts and come against me, I got to have that strength through prayer that I can ward him off whatever way he comes with every one of the five defensive weapons. Thirdly, Paul elaborates on the theme of prayer by using cognate words and synonyms to describe the activity and underscore its importance by employing the word all four times. Let's see it. Praying always, one, with all prayer, two, in supplication to the Spirit, and watching under there with all perseverance and supplication for what? All saints. Now, you know what the number four means in biblical terminology? You know, seven means perfection. Six means the number for man. One means God in unity. Five means grace. 10 means a new beginning. 13 means apostasy and rebellion. 14 is perfection doubled. What is four? Isn't it just kind of like the Holy Ghost? Four means God's power and operation in the earth. Hallelujah! God's mighty power in operation. And it comes into operation by us praying all these alls. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You can't pray in dominion prayer power without praying for everybody. I am sorry. Just bless me. My three, us four, no more. Don't cut it. Believers are urged to pray at all times with all prayer and supplication, with all perseverance, that they are to make supplication for all saints. Paul states that prayer is the foundational for the deployment of all the other weapons, and therefore crucial if we are to stand in our struggle. We must realize that life is a life of dependency on God, and prayer is essential if we are to wage a successful warfare against the power of darkness. You don't pray, brother, you are already conquered. You are already defeated. Paul said men ought to always pray in what? You know what the word faint means? Quit. Give up. You don't pray, you're going to quit and give up. When the enemy comes in like the flood and everything's going wrong, you don't give up, you pray. How many say amen? You pray, you make a supplication. You know what a supplication is? A plea for help. And God hears and he strengthens you with might by the Spirit in the inner man that you can lift up the shield of faith and take the sword of the Spirit and rout the enemy. You see, believers are to pray continually because their struggle with the power of darkness is never ending. The devil never quits fighting. And we should never quit praying. If you quit praying, then he conquers you. But if you keep praying and you're riding this way, and he goes and licks his wound and then tries another way. Another thought is that they are to be in and by the Spirit. That is guided and anointed by the Holy Ghost. For even when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, then the Holy Spirit helps us with groanings that cannot be what? Articulated. Brought out in human language. Romans 8:26 says, likewise also the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, he maketh intercessions with us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercessions for the saints, and then we can make intercessions for the rest of the saints when we get the victory. They are to intercede for all saints. You know, there's different circles of prayer. You know, when you first get saved, you're in the first circle of prayer. That's me. All of our prayers are about me. You know what I mean? Your first circle of prayers, all your prayers about you. But as you mature, then you might include if you marry your wife or your husband. And then as you mature a little bit, you get your children. But God wants us to mature until we can pray for all the saints all over all the world. We are intercede for saints, especially for those that have been joined in the new community of the people of God. In other words, those that are in your local church. Do you pray for your brother and sister? Do you pray for them all? Do you get a mental picture where they sit and every day pray for them? That's what Paul said, pray for all saints. That's what the Holy Ghost inspired him to say. Pray for all saints. And if we can't pray for all the saints in our local church, how are we going to pray for all the saints around the world? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching in prayer. Watching. You're watching in prayer. You're vigilant. You're watching to see if the enemies come in. Lord, don't let that one be tricked. Don't let my sister be tricked. Don't let my brother be tricked. Don't let the enemy come in and fool them. Don't let them slip in the back door. The four alls in this verse, pray at all times with all prayer and all supplication and perseverance and make supplication for all saints, underscore the emphatic significance which the apostle gave the mutual intercession. The Christian has no source of strength in himself and can see only as he is aided from above. And the apostle urges the duty of prayer for the believers to avail of all kinds of prayer. Standing, sitting down, prayers for yourself, prayers of thanksgiving, intercessory prayers, all types of prayers, urgent prayers, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers when everything's going all right. We are to pray at every situation. We ought to pray at every opportunity, praying with all prayer at all times. That means at every time you get a chance to pray. You should pray, one, when you're waiting inside the office of the dentist instead of listening to that music they put in or worrying about the pain you're going to feel. You should pray while you're riding on a transit bus. You need to take prayer every time you get a chance. And the main thing is we need to pray in the Spirit, which means under the anointing. Praying always with all prayer in the Spirit. If it's not in the Spirit, it's not going anywhere. And then Jude said in the 20th verse, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, prayer should be a life of prayer. Not of just me and God. It should be aware of all your brothers and sisters in the battle. Because we are an army, and when we go forth, you don't pray for yourself only. You pray for the whole army. Because if the other ones get destroyed, you're going to get destroyed. And we're only strong as the one and each other. We pray for the whole army. We are an army. You got to get this in your mind. We are an army. We are the body of Christ. We are one. And if one member suffers, what happens? We all suffer. But if one member is glorified, what happens? We all are glorified. And not only that, our prayers shouldn't be wish list prayers. Not only wish lists. You know, some people, they have wish lists. And it shouldn't be in the morning we pray over our coffee or our tea and then forget God the rest of the day. We need to pray every time we get a chance. You know what happens when you pray? You save yourself from being tempted. Remember, Jesus told Peter, James, and John, watch and pray that you enter not at what? Into temptation. If you're praying, brother, you're not going to be sinning. You're not going to get weak. So we're to pray always, every chance we get. That the scripture says, pray with what? Out ceasing. And if we got our mind and we're in contact with God, we can almost fulfill that to the very letter. Pray without ceasing. Pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for our, do you pray? How many's prayed for the president? Don't raise your hand. How many's prayed for our leaders? How many prayed for people over in Israel? Have you prayed? Pray without ceasing.
Amen. What a dynamic message by God's servant, Brother Hardy. Dominion prayer. Do you know how to pray the effectual, fervent prayer that avails much? That pulls down strongholds and causes Satan to bow to the name of Jesus? This was Apostle Paul's greatest desire for all believers, that we would know how to pray dominion prayers to bind and to loose, to open and close and destroy the works of the devil. This message, Dominion Prayer, is part of a dynamic series by Brother Hardy available on a 2-CD set. When you order Dominion Prayer, we will send you the bonus message, Dominion Armor, about the whole armor of God that we have been commanded to put on that we might be able to stand against all the wiles and strategy of the enemy and to quench every fiery dart of doubt and unbelief. This 2-CD set, Dominion Prayer and Dominion Armor, is available for a love gift of $15 or more to the radio ministry. Ask for offer 308. But we're not done. We will also send you a free copy of Brother Hardy's book, Dominion Power, which includes these two messages in addition to the dynamic teaching on the dunamis power that exploded on the day of Pentecost. This is a while supplies last offer, so don't delay. Order today. Offer 308. A 2-CD set, Dominion Prayer and Dominion Armor, with the free book, Dominion Power. Send your love gift of $15 or more to R.G. Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Or order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Once again, that mailing address is P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Until next time, this is Sister Sharon saying, Maranatha.